Welcome to the conversation. You're listening to Andy Mason, and we're talking the messy intersection of faith, family, and business. And it certainly is messy at the moment. There's a ton of uncertainty. We're not sure what's going to happen next week, let alone 2 months away. And how do you make decisions in the middle of this? I am sitting myself in my bedroom. It is currently my office for two reasons. One is obviously the stay-at-home restrictions, but also I am in isolation because of travel. So I've got five more days of this before I can hug my family. So make sure you hug yours. Well, today I've got a treat for you, especially at this time. A friend of mine, his name is Ryan Spitz. He owns Shasta Trail Runs, a local company. And 2 years ago, he'd started this company. He came up here, invested time and money and a ton of effort into building out this company. And then just 6 months in, the car fire happened and burned the entire area of his business. In the middle of that chaos, disaster, destruction, devastation, he had to recenter, reset, choose whether he's going to stay engaged or leave. And he made some decisions in the middle of that chaos that turned into a business opportunity that is now becoming global. I want you to hear the story. I want you to hear the process. And I want you to be encouraged through this because the same can happen to you. So I leave you with the conversation between myself and Ryan Spitz. Ryan, so good to have you.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so Ryan is the founder of California Untamed. And I think some people have been watching a promo video about that. And we're going to come back to that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Really what we want to do is get into the story and behind that. Because there's people right now that you're facing an overwhelming situation where things have happened, whether it's a virus right now or other things have been going on. I know people that have already been in situations with an automotive industry that's crashing in Europe, and it's affected their business. And it's like a disaster. It's chaos. And so in the middle of chaos, I can bury my head. I can label some conspiracy or blame somebody, or I can see an opportunity in the middle of it. And that's the beauty of having a connection with Ryan is Ryan's been through a situation a couple of years ago, and we're going to talk through that in terms of how do you turn chaos into an opportunity for increase. And that's exactly what Ryan has done. So Ryan, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, of course.
So tell us like a little bit, right? I'm just wondering, what's the best two to jump through today? The story ends good. Let's just say that. The
story we're still in it. Yeah.
But let's just say a little bit of who you are and where you're from.
Yep.
And what brought you to Redding, California.
Yeah. So Ryan Spitz. So originally from San Diego. So have lived there majority of my life. And my wife and I moved up to Redding. Shoot. It'll be 3 years in July now. I've always been corporate America. So I was partnering with CEOs on building workforce planning, strategic initiatives, and always, you know, helping with kind of hiring and recruiting. And my wife, Bree, had applied to BSSM for school.
So that's Bethel's ministry school.
Yep. Bethel's ministry school. She was like, hey, Ryan, what are your thoughts on, you know, me applying to it? It's up in Redding. I naively was like, where's Redding? But she applied, she got in, we ended up packing up our bags, moving up here. And for me, that's really now it's been a crazy journey, both for our family and especially for me, just really partnering formally with God in what I'm doing. Because I'd say kind of San Diego life and before, I was more in the striving world on, yeah, you know, kind of doing everything myself, not really thinking to turn to Him for the day-to-day life stuff, just only when things are good, then it's, yeah, thank you. But when things are hard, it's okay, let me figure it out. And Redding has really been kind of that turning point for me. Because surrender, I think, for me has been now my biggest thing that's come to fruition on, Ryan, you're not as cool or strong as you think you are.
Yeah.
But you really need me to do life with and to get through everything. So we moved up to Redding And the week before I moved up here, we found out Bree was pregnant with our third. Yeah. And then day five of me moving up here, the company I was with laid me off.
Oh my God. So you move up here. At the time you're with corporate, you're in recruitment.
Yeah. So I was managing a team of recruiters and then doing strategic planning. So yeah, I had worked out a deal with them to let me work remote for 9 months because we thought we were going to move back to San Diego after she finished first year.
Yeah.
So and I got laid off, and that was really then okay.
Welcome to Reading.
Yeah. Welcome to Reading. You know, no one. It's a different landscape, obviously, than San Diego. But, you know, for me, I was really missing the enjoyment factor in life and how really partnering with God, the workplace, and my family, they were all in their own buckets. There was really no crossover.
I got my God box. I got my work box. I got my family box.
Yep.
And they don't really connect.
Don't really connect. And I didn't really know how to connect them. And it was really that moment where kind of being out of control, then kind of the control from God really came into place on, okay, Ryan, you know, as a husband and a father and a provider, you know, I'm your provider, Ryan, you aren't. And now really pulling on kind of my heartstrings on, okay, for your passions and hopes that you've wanted to do with your life that you thought were never possible, let me show you that they're possible. So for me, that was really surrendering kind of my thoughts on how I thought work should be.
Yeah.
And okay, God, you're now my business partner. And my answer is yes. I have no idea what that means, but whatever it looks like, let's do it. So then it's been kind of a 3-year journey now of things taking place.
So to summarize that, you came up here thinking your wife's going to do ministry school. You're going to transfer. You're going to smoothly transition from San Diego to Reading. San Diego being population of San Diego, it's a big city, right?
Yeah, about 4 million.
Okay, to Reading, you're pushing 100,000.
Yeah.
From a 70, 80 degree climate to a, swings, but you're talking summers here, 100 plus.
Yeah.
Very different.
Very different.
But the hills and the surroundings is beautiful. So, So you get here and you lose your job straight away. So now you've moved to Reading and you've got nothing, but you know, here. So it took I have no other option.
Yeah.
To get to the point of, okay, maybe there's something else. And you're saying the first thing that God said is, would you trust me to connect all the buckets together?
Yep. And then really from that moment, it's now been one relationship or conversation or door that I thought I was going to have to kick open that was already open when I went to go knock on it. It's been, him now kind of walking with that journey. You know, obviously it hasn't been easy and I'm still living in it, but it's been amazing. So, I mean, health and fitness has always been my passion and world since I was a little kid building forts with my dad, doing Tony Little workouts of, I've always wanted to do that and use that to inspire folks as a career, but really just never saw that actually playing out to, that's what I'm doing full time. And my second week of being here, I then went to a Heaven and Business conference. So that's when I met you and then, had for the very first time prophetic words spoken over me, which I had never experienced that before.
So what is that? What is a prophetic word?
Yeah. So For me, it was then these two individuals that then just kind of spoke truth that they were hearing from God over my life, where for them, knowing no context or anything about me or my situation, and the stuff that they were saying blew me away.
Yeah, it resonated with you, brought hope, brought life, brought courage, brought direction. Great.
Yep. And then some of the stuff that they were saying that I didn't really make sense at the time, is now coming to fruition 3 years later.
It's cool.
So it's been crazy. So then, I met you guys, then kind of knew that really kind of continued planting my seed on, okay, trusting God, like it's not the end of the world. You're going to find yourself in a way better scenario than even what you can like think up in your head.
Yeah.
I then shortly met the previous owner of Shasta Trail Runs. So it's a local trail running, business. He started 7 years ago, puts on trail running races for mainly here in Shasta County.
Yeah.
I reached out to him just to try to plug myself in on, okay, hey, I don't know anyone. Let me, do my part, volunteer, meet some people.
And is that what you were doing beforehand? You've always been trail running.
Yep, so I've always been trail running. Did triathlon for a long time and ran some marathons. And then, but yeah, the past couple of years before moving here has then been more ultra marathons, trail running.
Yeah, so you had your God box, you had your family box, you had your business, work, corporate box, and you had your hobby box of running.
Yes.
Running triathlons. Yep. So we're a couple of weeks in. You get, so it sounds like you got hope.
Yep.
Out of hope, you saw an opportunity, reached out, connected with Chester Trail Runs.
Yep.
What about work, income?
I know. So that, I had no money coming in. So at that point, I still had no idea what I was going to do.
And another baby coming.
So that was kind of continued my surrender on, okay, I can't figure this out. Me figuring out would be, hey, Bree, we need to go back to San Diego. I already know, and kind of going back to the known and the comfortable.
Yeah.
And jumping back into life that I had already acknowledged, I don't want that anymore.
Yeah.
So for me, that was, okay, I don't know what it looks like, but I'm not going back. And then from the meeting up then with Mark, the owner, he's like, hey, I'm actually looking to sell this company and retire and do some other things. Do you want it?
This is after how many meetings with him?
Yeah. And then from that, you know, we financially, it didn't make sense, or I had no money coming in. So why would I take all my money and put it out? So Bree and I prayed on it for a week or so. And we both agreed, hey, we think we're supposed to do this. So worked out a deal with Mark, and I then purchased Shasta Trail Runs.
So were you doing anything else? Like I remember going for a run with you at the time, and you were doing some part-time work, or was it your job carried over?
I was able to find some part-time work at Dignity Health and help them with recruiting. And then I reached out to a few companies ago. My old boss there was able to pick up some part-time work. So I was kind of juggling two recruiter positions. More entry level, but yeah, two recruiter positions just to try to semi make ends meet.
Yeah.
And then added Shasta Trail Runs to the mix.
Yeah. So you're juggling two jobs and an entrepreneurial startup.
Yeah.
You said that you and your wife Bree prayed about it and you sensed this was the thing to do. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. So, you know, I've yet to necessarily personally have had like an audible voice from him, but we can, especially when it comes to money things, I can be kind of high strung and just stress myself out on how am I going to make ends meet, or just adding the kids and just costs that come with that. But so when thinking of spending more money to an unknown, or does this even make sense?
Yeah.
Like my middle name's Thomas. So kind of doubting Thomas kind of comes into mix a lot for me.
Questioning. Let's call him questioning Thomas. Just different.
Yeah. But when we were praying about this and then started thinking through logistics, like there was just so much peace around it this makes sense, or even for us buying it financially. Some things came around that the money wasn't there when the conversation started.
Yeah.
But then a few days before it was going to be like, okay, let's do it, funds became available to move forward with it. So for us, that was okay. We still don't know the stones to be laid, but we feel like he's saying, yes, this is the path I want you guys to take, and don't worry about sort of the flesh stressors, or it doesn't make sense on paper.
Yeah.
For us, it's been the whole, do you trust me? And I said, yes, without knowing what was to fall next. So we went for it.
So I'm hearing a couple of things. One, you'd chosen, I want to make a life of adventure. I want to trust, I want to follow God. That's this whole reason of coming here.
Yeah.
And you didn't want to draw back. There's that scripture that says we're not of those who draw back to destruction, but those who believe to the saving of the soul. So there's a key there. You were in partnership with your wife. So it's the two of you together. That's a great key. Another key is, you didn't hear some angel singing, but you heard peace. And Colossians 3:15 says, let peace be your governor. So often God will talk to us through peace. So if you're listening, look for peace, and you can have peace in spite of the situation or circumstance. You just have, or the opposite is, I've just, it seems logical, but I have a hesitation. That's the opposite of it. Yeah. Both can be led by that. And so you took a risk, and then some things started to align as you took a risk and moved towards it. Yep. So you buy this company, you work in two jobs, and yep. you're starting to build out Shasta Trail Runs. What did that look like?
Yeah. So I knew it. So, you know, he had done a great job building it up, had some great rapport in the community. You know, obviously now I wanted to bring my own branding and flavor to it and expand it outside of just Redding and Shasta County. So, you know, spent a lot of money and time rebranding it. I added some races to the mix. And shortly after I bought the company, and I was then like, okay, like this is getting some good legs to it. I can now kind of leave corporate America behind. And this is my, you know, freedom into the life that I had then was like, okay, here we go. Car fire happened.
So it was about a 6-month process from memory yep. that you're building, yep. building, investing a ton of time, running yep. trails, building, serving. You've invested time and cash,
yep.
which you only had a very limited supply of.
Yep.
6 months into it, so July 2018, yep. the yep. car fire happened. And now tell us, where were all your trails, where was the events, and where did the fire come?
Yeah, so where the fire started, so a lot of the events that we had today were in Whiskey Town. So if you haven't seen them, it's beautiful trails around a lake. I mean, for me, it really sold it on, okay, this is why we're here, because this is in our backyard, 10 minutes from town. So we had a handful of events that with the whole trail network out there took place there. And then a few in the surrounding area, and the fire wiped out everything.
Yeah.
So currently those majority of those trails that my races were on don't exist today. So I went from a pretty still, quick,
as yeah, in I tried to run one on the weekend.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this, and yeah, it's still burned.
Yeah.
Still lost. It's still, I shouldn't have been running it.
Yeah. So it was a quick kind of 180 on, okay, I'm seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. I'm running in full stride. This thing is growing.
It's gonna work.
Having yeah. a blast doing it. Like this is what we've been hoping and praying for. And then, yeah, the fires hit, and it was, for me, it was a really weird dynamic, because obviously, you know, homes were lost, lives were lost. So, you know, obviously that was very heavy in itself. So for a little bit, you know, I was kind of brushing off, okay, Ryan, they're just trails. Like there's a lot bigger things at hand that people are yeah. grieving with than yeah. outdoor recreation.
Yeah.
Until it was probably a couple of days after the fires that it really kind of hit home. And, oh, well, no, Ryan, this just burnt down like your business and your livelihood yeah. and what you were doing. I think
and
even
your family.
You were one that kind of helped like be like, no, no, it's okay that, you know, you can grieve on this piece too, because it really was a lot of my dreams and what I was doing with God was wiped out, or what I thought was completely wiped out. And then I just was like, okay, I'm now back to square one, even more in debt.
Yeah. So actually you're not even at square one.
Well, yeah.
You've stepped out, you've taken a risk. You think you've done everything according to your convictions, your belief, your peace. You've invested all your money and 6 months of your time.
Yeah.
And then wham, it's all gone.
Yeah.
So how does that feel? And how was Bree? How was your wife with that as well?
It was tough. I mean, it hit us hard. There was probably a good 48 hours or so that we strongly contemplated, like, A, what's going on? Or then like, B, are we supposed to be here? Or like, should we pack up and go back? Like yeah. it's now, you know, she was now done with school. We had put a lot of eggs into this
yeah.
basket. And now that it was no more, it's like, okay, is now the time that we just kind of pull the plug, call our spade a spade, and just go back. And yeah. I just, you know, we gave outdoor recreation and that a shot. But corporate America is now where I'm going to fall, and I'll just go back and find another recruiting gig.
Looks like you work for someone else.
Yeah. So I kind of allowed myself to sit in that for a couple of days. And then finally kind of got myself turned around, and we started talking, really realizing, you know, the community and the running community, and it had kind of wiped out from a hope standpoint, dramatically had a negative impact to that. So
the whole area. And just to put this in context, it was over 200,000 acres that burned.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be 1 year and it's back to, it's, we're talking 10 plus years. We're now 2 years down the track.
Yeah.
And I live on the back of some of these trails and yeah, it's very black. There's still dead trees standing up. There is some undergrowth starting to grow now, but it's going to be years before it's even back to where it was.
Yeah. And knowing too, a lot of residents here, I mean, they've lived their whole, I've only had a short blimp here and they've lived their whole lives here and this was their home, you know, especially on the outdoor activity side. So, you know, that's where Bree and I then really felt like, okay, Ryan, like now's your time. You know, it's okay to cry, have your wallows, but now's the time to really be the light for the community in that scene and step up and show them that, you know, their fun in the outdoors and in the trail scene isn't over. And there's still a lot of joy and excitement to be had. So while it's kind of funny, because while then I tried to embody that and kind of have the spirits of hope, I found myself a lot of times, you know, through my posts or things I was doing or group runs, I would have to go back and like listen to what I was telling people to remind myself like, hey, Ryan, like it's going to be okay.
So what changed you from, you know, the 48 hours of let's just pack it up, let's go, let's leave, let's walk away. You know, and I'm hearing you got to the point where it sounds like you're actually strengthening yourself or you're actually doing this, you're doing for others what you wanted for yourself and you have to listen to yourself. But what turned you in the first instance? Was it Bree? Was it God? I mean, was it both?
I think it was Bree. It was God. It was then also Chris Valentin. We heard a sermon from him around the same time that he was saying for him, he really felt that God was saying, you were made for this, on for moments of this and in crisis to be the stronghold and come out and keep hope going.
Yeah.
It kept kind of resonating with me on, hey, Ryan, all your perseverance and grit and kind of in the endurance scene, all the pain and suffering you've been able to build up, like you've been now kind of conditioned and prepared for this moment to, through perseverance and endurance and grit, be kind of that anchor that folks can lean on.
Yeah.
So for me, it was then, okay. Like, the fire's ruined here, but for me, it was okay. Fire's now lighting my fire on.
Yeah.
I'll be damned if this ruins everything.
Yeah.
So let's get after it. So quickly after that, started coming up with, okay, it killed my local races. We're going to start and open up races in, you know, from here to Mount Shasta. I'm going to take these races. I'm going to move them to these new sites so the race can still continue.
And so then the Castle Crags came out of that. I remember playing, like we talked about, a kick-ass marathon.
Okay, and then Castle Crags came out of it. Mount Shasta came out of it. 4-mile-an-hour challenge, so kind of our last person standing race that got hit pretty hard at Oak Bottom. Moved that up to the Great Rail Trail by McLeod. Two Peaks came out of it out in Swayze because they were able to get those trails rebuilt pretty quick. So I'd say probably about over a month's time was able to then, while my races went from 5 to 1, essentially, got it back up to 9.
Yeah. So you're scrambling, you're doing what you can, you're talking to people, you're navigating, how can I switch this from what I've got? So you went kind of from one to the other as best you could, but it effectively delayed everything probably another 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you had to survive. How did you survive over that period? And then what else happened at the time?
I know. So surviving was tough. It was one of those, again, really kind of God showing me I'm not the provider, or really abundance and his timing is a lot different than mine. Through relationships or people that we met along the way, you know, when I was, you know, stressing out, staying up on, okay, we have bills to be paid and I have negative $1,000 in my bank account. How is this going to work out? Things would come, whether through gifts and just kind of provision outside of how I would have assumed it to go. I still think back on it. Okay, I don't really necessarily know how all of it played out, but we stayed afloat. You know, it wasn't easy. And again, showing, you know, just because I was partnering with God doesn't mean it's going to be easy. But the strength that came with, okay, God, I don't know what I'm doing today. Like, show me. I don't know who I'm talking today. Introduce me. For me, that was what was able to kind of keep one day, you know, past the other, on just taking it a day at a time and not trying to white knuckle my plans or how I think this all needs to play out, but you know, staying open and really listening and hearing on, okay, what am I supposed to get from today, or who do I need to talk to today? And even just humbling myself on, okay, you get to receive for a little bit. I think knowing surrender and not that I'd say I'm prideful, but asking for help doesn't come easy. So I think that was it still is a huge piece that he was able to walk me through on, you know, keeping your focus on him and that joy is a choice. So no matter what's going on around you, keeping your eyes on that and just how important community and relationships are. It all just continued to be able to progress itself forward.
So you had a choice to draw back, and it probably would have worked out a fine for you. You were going to San Diego and no one would have known any different.
Yeah.
But you chose actually the harder route to stay, dig in, to say, no, I was born for this. A series of things confirmed that. You chose day by day. You didn't know what you were going to do a month out, but you knew what you can do the day by day.
Yeah.
Obviously pressure. You're carrying on these part-time jobs as best you can. And you'd managed to switch relatively quickly the old races for some new locations that was all different. So it's almost like it doubles the workload and delays the income.
Yeah.
But the community was strong in support.
Mm-hmm.
And then something bigger happened. Tell us about that.
Yeah. For the California Ante?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So, you know, I'd say the fire in me then really kept growing. And then from the conversation, the meetings that took place. So meeting the Nigel Skeet the same time I met you, you know, we were in a place when we originally met at that Heaven and Business conference.
Yeah.
You know, knew there was something powerful that was going to happen between the two of us, but again, had no idea what that looked like or timing of it. So we still stayed in contact, but again, probably a year or so went by that, you know, nothing really materialized, or we still didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And from the fires and me really knowing I wanted to continue to expand and just build out the outdoor recreation and endurance scene up here. And just for me, you know, residential worthiness was a huge underlying layer that I thought I could help be, you know, someone that can just kind of help pull out the gold in each person is showing like, hey, you are worthy and this area is worthy, and just continually scale that out on, you know, we're all made for great things.
Yeah.
You just got to do some hard things to, to get there. But, from Nigel and I, then the idea of California Untamed came about, where we knew we wanted to, again, uplift the region and the area. And with what I was doing with Shasta Trail runs and the endurance scene, okay, what's a good event, global just event pause, that we can put
just
on?
Just pause in there.
Yeah.
I want people to capture this. So you're 1 year into a location, you've invested fully into it, and then everything burns. So it looks the worst it's ever looked.
Yeah.
And you have got, you said the fire in the county became the fire inside of you to say, this place is worth something. This place has value. And it's the individuals that are not seeing their value. And it's the county that the world doesn't see how valuable this place is. Beautiful. How can we help this place see how beautiful it is? And you put that through the lens of events and trail runs and the outdoors. And then that's the context. Is you're saying, let's bring people here. It's like, to what? I'm in that area. And then you come up with this crazy idea.
Yeah. So, yeah. So we were like, okay, we're going to show you that there's still a lot of beauty and epicness that resides up here. And hey, cities, counties, let's give you a platform to brag about your hometown. And world, let's give you an awesome global event that you can come visit here and take on. So
hang on, You went from, I've got Chester Trail Runs. We can do the little heart thing if you want to, which is one, pretty much one location. And mm-hmm. now you're saying, let's do something global. And the thing that catalyzed it is a catastrophe. Uh-huh. Really was. It's a national, yeah. It's a disaster.
Yeah.
Out of this comes, and you bring out the word, let's not just do it for us. Let's show the world the value of this place. Are you crazy?
I go straight from small to big. I kind of skip the middle grads. Even with my own like race world, I've never ran a 5K. I went straight to marathon and then 100-miler.
Okay.
And then triathlon, I started with an Olympic and straight to Ironman. So why not?
So Jesus, we pray for Bree. And your kids. Like, oh wow.
That's right.
So you think let's put this county, let us put this area on the map.
On the map.
And it's almost like the fire really.
We're on the map because we had a devastation fire and nothing exists. But let's give something of worth and value to show the world. So knowing I want to tie in multiple communities. You know, I was always already doing the trail running scene. So a trail running race out the gates, you know, was going to be the best kind of in line.
Yeah.
So, you know, normally it takes quite a while to figure out, okay, where's the route going to be? How are we going to connect all this? Knowing Northern California, as amazing as the wilderness sections are, you cannot permit in the wilderness sections. So it makes it very unique to figure out how to connect the lines outside or in between the wilderness areas. And I didn't want it to be on main roads. So I wanted you to see a side of California that was not Hollywood, was not the Golden Gate Bridge, but this is California.
Yeah.
And within 2 to 3 days, I came up with the route. It all just kind of laid, actually within that 2 to 3 day period, kind of the next 10 events that we'll be showcasing, all were born in kind of that 3 day window.
So now how long after, so the fire was July the 27th, I think.
Yeah. Our
conference was September the 10th.
Yeah.
In between that, you'd already come up with all these ideas.
Yeah.
And you talked about an event, a showcase event has to, you said, how'd you come up with this? Like, it's got to be a location or a destination event.
Yeah. Destination event. I wanted to have something noteworthy from the global scale. So I knew from a distance standpoint. So what are two iconic locations in Northern California that we can represent? So took Arcata. So, I mean, starting on the beach in the water, in the sand, you can't beat that.
On the West Coast. Yep.
On the West Coast. And then finishing in the mountains. So up in Mount Shasta, you know, our gem, majestic piece up here.
Beautiful.
I was like, that's really hard to beat two iconic spots that within an event time frame, you can be in both those worlds. And it turned out the route I made came out to 330 miles.
Yeah.
Which also then put it as the longest point-to-point event in the continental U.S. So from that moment, it was like, oh, man, I think we got something. So the plan was just going to be a formal event. Obviously, a lot of scouting and making sure that what I came up with existed and made sense. And then Bree and I took the kids out to Arcata because we had never been there before. Yeah. And we're playing around the beach. And on the drive back, Bree and I were just talking about the 330 route. And she strongly felt that the Holy Spirit was telling her, like, hey, Ryan, you need to your way to showcase what you've just built is you need to go do this yourself.
So she was the one that told you to do this?
She was the one that the idea to go run it came from. In other words, I was just going to be, you know, day here, day there, scouting sections of it at a time over the next 6 months. I mean, the farthest I'd ran is 100-miler, and that was tough. So Yeah, she was like, you know what, we try to be as authentic in what we do on, you know, I won't put on something if I haven't experienced it, to just kind of show like, hey, I'm not an Olympic athlete, but that doesn't mean you can't put yourself out there and try and then scale it down to your level.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was like, hey, I really think you need to go run this thing, video it, make a documentary.
And you should. You should.
I can't outsource that.
Yeah.
So again, I mean, we've noticed too, when kind of these ideas from God happen, like the ball starts rolling pretty quickly. So
now just pause a moment.
Yeah.
And again, in this time frame, there are some key events or situations. One, the connection with Nigel that multiplied the idea.
Yes.
And just sparked that destination event. The crisis and the chaos gave room for this idea to come out.
Yep.
It was always, the mountain was there beforehand, and so was the beach.
Yeah.
And you were there. You were already there. But then once you've got this idea, it's so much bigger than what you'd ever asked, thought, or imagined.
Yeah.
Confidence. How did you get the confidence to actually step out? I mean, you said Bree was with you, but was there any other, like, what else? And around that time, was there anything else that really encouraged you to, like, I need the courage to do this?
I know. I mean, I think God had continually been showing me, I mean, even kind of taking over Shasta Trail runs, you know, I had, even before I bought the company, I had never been an assistant race director. I'd never been in any formal capacity of that sort. So even that was, okay, I'm now creating and leading these events that I've never formally on a resume, you know, done it. So he had already been kind of walking through more my insecurities on kind of the qualified versus unqualified on what I'm had been defining myself as not qualified. He's been qualifying me for it.
Yeah.
So when it came to kind of this run and my nerves and just insecurities on, well, shoot, Ryan, can you even do this? Or are you the person to do this? Knowing that was more me, Ryan, talking in my head, his voice, and just kept coming over me on, no, you're qualified. Like, I've called you to do this. I'm breathing on this.
Yeah.
So trust me in this.
Yeah.
And then having some other people in my life who also were able to kind of speak those words into me at separate occasions, just more kind of showed me on, okay, Ryan, like, get out of your head. And he's got this.
Yeah.
So
wise counselors.
Yeah.
People that it could speak in truth, people that can see you for the potential rather than just your past.
Yeah.
And say, and starting with your wife. I mean, that's just, she's a gift.
She's a gift, hands down.
Yeah.
And then, so we then picked a date. So I was then going to run it in June of last year.
2019.
So I had 5 months leading up to a training. So I was still working the two recruiting jobs, still doing Shasta Trail runs, building out California Adventure District, which you all see soon, and in California Untamed, this 330 route. So I was barely staying afloat, but knowing, okay, God was my caffeine for that.
God was my caffeine. Yeah.
And then we ended up buying a house, which ironically, well, not ironically now, but the same guy that I bought Shasta Trail runs from, we ended up buying his house.
Yeah. Now, and your mother-in-law was involved with that?
Yeah.
Or from a financial perspective?
Yeah, partnered with us on that. And it has a granny flat to it.
Yeah.
Actually, the other side of this wall is granny flat.
So that's what even made that possible. Yeah.
That's what made that possible. The day before we were supposed to get the keys, I then was laid off again from those corporate gigs.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, it's a complete deja vu moment. I'm in a situation like, what the heck? Or like, okay, now again, like, money, I just bought a house, or temporarily it got paused because
this is crazy.
It got crazy town again. But then that for us, and that was where, okay, now I'd heard Joshua Johnson. I don't know if he's listening, but he was talking out of Heaven and Business on one of the Thursday nights and was talking about burning your ships.
Yeah.
And again, was already
which
kind
of a metaphor.
Metaphor for burning your ships on an old Spanish general back in the 1700s, when he would go conquer new land, he would take his armies. As soon as they would land on the shoreline, he would burn his ships. So that way, if any fear of retreat or running back to the
there
old
line, there is no retreat.
There's no option. The only path is forward. So I'd already been kind of living that out and working through that with what was going on. And then it was shortly after I heard Joshua say the burn your ships dynamic that then this thing with the house came and the jobs.
Yep.
And for me, that was the moment, okay,
let's
my
go.
Ships are burned. let's do it. So then probably a couple weeks after then we moved into the house is then when I ran the 330 miles over the 5.5 days.
Okay, say that again. You ran how far?
Yeah, so 330 miles from the coast to Mount Shasta.
And
it was crazy. I took a beating, but yeah, I got to the finish line.
Yeah.
And then again, for that has now saying yes to that has now been what's been laying all these other stones that are now coming to fruition on if I would have let fear and doubt and uncertainty or hey, I don't know how to get to the finish line, so I'm not even gonna start the race.
Yeah.
If I would have partnered with that, I don't even know where I'd be now. It's definitely not as much of a joyous state. But by saying yes and taking on something that I thought failure was more certain than succeeding it was, it's now just been a whole cascading of one thing after another. Again, not necessarily knowing exactly all the steps to get there, but day by day, just getting those stones to lay down on, okay, here's your stone for the day.
Yeah.
And it's...
It's what will I do today? It's mapping it out. It's doing your due diligence.
Yeah.
It's this year, you've got that event coming up.
Yeah.
First time ever. You've already got 80 individuals signed up to run it, the entire thing. How many teams signed up now?
Yeah. So we have about 10 teams. We'll sell out at 30 teams. And
we're in. Yeah.
You guys are on the teams. So since June, now, opening up registration, having a global audience, folks from around the world coming to race it.
Yeah, how many internationals?
Yeah, so a lot from Australia, Ireland, the UK, South America, Costa Rica, Canada, and then all over the US. So it's been a blessing to see. Pretty quickly that it's gotten the global exposure that, you know, I was praying it would have, but not really sure, you know, how that would actually go out.
And sponsorships? Who's coming on board?
Able to have partner with partners. So a lot of the top product companies in the space, we're talking with GoPro right now and some exciting production to be had from the film or from the race that'll turn into a film. So it's been amazing.
So you've gone literally from everything burned, and you said then the fire got inside of you.
Yeah.
And then you've taken on the biggest risk in your life, but actually the chaos became an opportunity. The leveling of the ground literally caused you to look outside, and there's some keys in that. And now you and these ideas and the people around you are literally creating a destination event and helping people see how much value there is in Northern California.
Yeah.
So actually renaming California Adventure District. There's a whole story in behind that.
Yeah.
People can jump onto CaliforniaUntamed.com and you'll see actually a video documentary of you running it for the first time.
Yes.
It's pretty amazing. But if we were kind of wrapping this up, there's people right now that are going through what you experienced. You know, they've put their life into something and it's burned. It's chaos. It's tattered. It's messed. It's, you know, physically, emotionally, mentally, relationally, financially, they're like spinning right now. What advice would you say to them?
Yeah. I mean, I think the first thing is be still. I know, especially for me, and I would imagine, you know, a lot of people out there right now too, if you have your own business or, you know, heavily involved in the workplace, is at the end of the day, we're all doers. So it's very hard to be still and take a pause and really not sort of the first step for, I know for me too, of not doing or of doing something was not doing something. So really just leaning into God and your mentors and advisors and just your significant others around you on, okay, let's first, you know, allow the grieving to set in and kind of get those emotions out and any sort of bitterness or just things that could, you know, deter you from the long run on fulfilling what you need to. And then just surrendering it all to God for me was the biggest part on, okay, I need you to start downloading some wisdom and discernment on what are my actions. I don't need to know every single one of them, but where do I start? And then from that, it's really just keeping check on why you either started building or are building what you were doing before it got taken out.
Remember your why. Good.
And for me, letting that be a strong backbone on your relationship with God and your why.
Yeah.
And from that, whatever is going to be birthed from that is going to be 10 times stronger than even where you're at before it happened.
Yeah.
And, well, knowing relationships are huge in that.
Yeah. This has been gold, Ryan. I just think it's so timely and your story. So firstly, thank you. Thank you for not drawing back.
My
thank
pleasure.
Thank you for marrying Bree and listening to her. I'm so excited for this from multiple levels, the adventure that it literally is and watching it play. But the story, like the event's one thing, but the story is so much more powerful, and the courage and the hope and the practical keys that have come out of your story of literally from chaos to an opportunity that becomes a destination event for our region. It's just a beautiful, beautiful story. So thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
And so people can find out about this, ShastaTrailRuns.com, is that?
Yep. So ShastaTrailRuns.com. I did have to cancel some events because of the virus. But yep, more stuff coming. And then CaliforniaUntamed.com.
Yeah.
You'll get all the goods for that.
So thank you so much. If you've been watching this or listening, check those things out. Check out those resources. There's videos there. But just pause for a moment and just do what Ryan's talked about, is give yourself permission to grieve as well, because there is loss. But then pause, be still, and just listen. Say, God, I surrender all of what I've got. You say to trust you beyond my understanding, and I've lived according to my understanding for so long. I want to trust you with my future, and I ask for the grace and the wisdom to know what to do. Mm. Ryan, just finished with this. You, one thing you said is, I don't know what to say, or I don't know who to talk to. I don't want to. What was it? What was those phrases that you said about that?
I'm drawing a blank now.
Well, it was like literally day by day, you didn't know who to talk to. You'd say, God, show me who to talk to.
Oh yeah. 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 It was generally, I mean, especially in the environment where I didn't know anyone or really who to lean on, was, God, show me what to do. Show me who to talk to.
Yeah.
And just let me hear you and hear what I need to hear.
Yeah. So Jesus, show us what to do, because I don't know what to do. Show me who to talk to, because I don't know anybody. And then give me the grace and the wisdom. Let me hear your voice. So I just bless everyone that's listened to this. Thank you so much, Ryan.
Find out more about Heaven in Business on heaveninbusiness.com or facebook.com/heaveninbusiness.